Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the
And good morning, Dan, back with you. As promised, Luke Virgil with us today. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, Dan.
How are you?
I am good. I enjoy hot weather. So,
You've been in luck the last few days.
I go hide in the air conditioning for a while, and then I go back outside and enjoy the heat. I mean, it's I'd rather have this than freezing temps, ice, snow, and wind.
Well, yeah, I prefer it's not as hot as it's been the last few days. It got really hot really quick.
I try and make a pledge to not complain about heat because I hate cold so much.
Okay. Well, I vary on that. I guess cold doesn't bother me as much as heat some days, sometimes. But anyway, we'll talk about other things besides the weather. That's not mainly why we're here. You said you feel there's kind of a better vibe in the area these days.
Yeah, I'd say that I think the June 1st date where the new directed health measures went into effect, it's a relaxation for a lot of things. Our places that are strictly bars that can reopen, weddings and funeral, they can do a dinner.
Right.
And it's still really restricted, but having that kind of a momentous life event, it's been really under the radar the last 2 or 3 months, and that's a hard thing for people. So having the ability to do that, even though it's a redacted format, I think it's good to have that open again. And so we just encourage people to keep staying positive about the situation. I talked to Bill Molina at White Dog this week, and his final count was 75 days closed from March 18th through June 1st when he reopened on Monday. And that's a really big number to have businesses shut down. And I think there's a lot of, not everybody was shut down that long. But a lot of people saw a major effect across that same 75-day period. Hopefully we're getting out of the woods here a little bit. We're still going to be under a shadow of COVID-19 for a long time. I don't think that until there's a vaccine, we can really start to get a normal feeling or whatever. So we encourage people to stay positive and just understand that there are different comfort levels. I mean, there's if you go into a business and they are very concerned about COVID-19 and they want everybody to be wearing a mask, whether it's employees or patrons, please respect that. And be patient that my comfort level might be a little bit different than your comfort level and vice versa. I think it's important that we just kind of tread lightly but stay positive about it too. Don't get crabby with people when they say you need to put on a mask to come into my business. And if you're not comfortable going into a place because they are not wearing a mask, then don't patronize them. I guess it's all about personal choices.
Well, kind of tell them that too.
Right. But tell them that and say, this is just my personal choice, my personal comfort level. And we're all taking personal responsibility for this, continuing to slow the spread. I mean, I know that was the big mantra, slow the spread, flatten the curve. Well, it doesn't just happen across that 75 days that we just got through. It happens across many, many months. And that was something that I didn't understand at the very beginning. I really hoped that this would have been, 3, 4, maybe 6 weeks at the most. I joke with my neighbor, we thought that the school would have gone back right after Easter. And that was absolutely not the case. Here we are, we're looking at, what kind of hybrids or other changes are going to have to happen for education in the fall.
Yep.
Wayne State is adamant that they want to reopen and have students because they know that that's so important to their students. And I know that for the community, we want those students back in town. They bring a different vibrancy to the community. And so it's just, we want to get back to what we would consider normal. But it, in all of the recovery and disaster training that we've gone through, they always say you have to create a new normal, and that part of that is establishing those comfort levels, but at the same time trying to stay positive about the whole situation.
Yeah, we all have to keep in mind the healthy procedures as far as going about your life, the washing your hands all the time.
Yep.
And maybe, you know, not being as social as you were at one time, but we'll get used to it. And it'll be a new norm.
It'll be the new normal. And you know, and maybe over the next, you know, 5 years, we get back to where we were. You know, I was on a call yesterday. They talked a lot about travel and hospitality and the entertainment industries. They've probably been the most adversely affected. And the question is, when will we ever get to have a concert again? You know, I know that the concert series here at the Wayne County Fair, the concert series at the college in the spring, you think about what the CenturyLink Center or the Pinnacle Bank Arena down in Lincoln do. The concert series that they have are just incredible parts of their budget and incredible parts of what make those communities vibrant. And so it's that, but that's a huge event with, you know, hundreds, sometimes thousands of people in a very small space. And when you think of a post-COVID world, it's how do you mitigate those risk factors? How do you get people comfortable? And so that's another thing. We want people to get confident again. Get out there and spend your money, reopen your businesses, take precautions. Don't just go into it, you know, blindly and think that you can go back to a world where plexiglass isn't the norm, or where face masks or frequent hand washing is not the norm. But keep staying open, keep communicating with your patrons, keep communicating with your employees, make sure that people understand where you're at and why you're at that comfort level or why you're choosing to take certain actions.
Okay. Well, we better talk about the one public event that you guys are in charge of. We've made at least one decision.
Yes. So on May 29th, the chamber staff, the president of our board, Mike Powicki at Wayne State, Wes Blakey at the city, and then Kim Schultz and Julie Rother at Public Health, we all got together on a Zoom meeting, and we just had an open discussion. Julie, where are we at with the different directed health measures? Where are we at with, you know, the guidance coming out of DHHS for large events? And so she went through the different things. We kind of did a gut check of everybody around the horn, and everybody felt, you know, July is probably still too soon. So that's why we decided to reschedule Chicken Show for a one-day event on September 12th. That's a Saturday in September. You'll still get Labor Day weekend all to yourselves, but then the next weekend you've got to be in Wayne because we're going to do the Chicken Show then. We want to keep as much of the core essence or, you know, nostalgia pieces of the Chicken Show intact, even though that means we have to get creative. We're going to have to get really creative. The parade is a major event. We're going to try and do the parade if possible. I know right now parades are still kind of on a no-no, according to the DHM. We're going to try and do the cluck off. We've got the cement chickens. We want our artists to come in and decorate those so that we can auction those off. Chicken Show shirts are still available. Some of the other events, I think, you know, like the eating contests or the chicken or the egg toss, probably the rubber chicken toss might get left in the dust because it's the same couple of chickens being reused, and disinfecting them after each participant might be a little difficult. I'm going to leave a lot of the decisions on what gets kept and what can't be done to the Chicken Show Committee. And I think as a team, we kind of discuss that too. The Chicken Show Committee has always been some of the fiercest, most loyal people to the Chicken Show. They know this event backwards and forwards, what has to be in it and what can be jettisoned in light of COVID-19. And so we'll let them make a lot of the big decisions on what the schedule is going to look like and how that goes. However, I know fireworks are a big question. I'm going to let them decide. Do we do that in July still? We've talked with Premier Fireworks. Brian Gibson always helps us out with that. Mm-hmm. They're pretty flexible on what we're going to do. So if we need to do it in July, we can. If we need to move it to September, I think we can do that too. Again, I'll let Chicken Show Committee and smarter minds than mine decide when the best time to do that is. one thing that we are looking at is maybe a change in location. We have contacted the Wayne County Fair Board. They've been one of our most loyal companions through the years. They always put the stage up for us during Halloween. We're going to talk to them on June 11th at their meeting about a possible location change to the Wayne County Fairgrounds. The reason we did that was Bressler Park is a smaller space.
More space, yeah.
And with all of the current restrictions and guidance from DHHS and Northeast Nebraska Public Health Department, the more space that you have, the more you can spread people out, the safer it's going to be. And like we said in the press release earlier this week, health and safety of our visitors, our vendors, our participants, our guests, and just the Wayne community in general, because we're bringing in a lot of people into the community. The health and safety of all those people is the most important piece. And so if we can't have an event that is still safe and keep the community safe at the same time, then what's the point of having the event? And so that's why we're doing it in September. And if it's in a bigger area, we think we can do that more safely.
Okay. Just keep paying attention for things that may happen earlier than that.
So we always welcome new ideas. We always welcome new volunteers. The Chicken Show Committee is meeting Monday, June 8th next week. I think it's going to be an in-person meeting at the, I think Abby was going to try and go to the North meeting room. It's a bigger space to get together and spread out as a group. They think that face-to-face is going to be very important for the committee. But also if there are people in the community that have ideas and really want to be involved in Chicken Show, please join them. We're always looking for good volunteers that love this event like we do. But we know that with a new format, whether it's a new location, with a changed date, with all the requirements for COVID-19, we're going to need a heck of a lot more volunteers to get us through. There's probably going to be a lot of unglamorous stuff. I just have this sense that Abby, I always tell Abby and Irene, you guys just tell me where I need to plug in. And I'll show up. And I just have this sneaking suspicion they're going to be like, you're on wet wipe duty. So when somebody goes and does something on a hard surface, go wipe it down. But, you know, it might be something as unglamorous as that, but it also could be something like helping people park and maintain distance with vehicles. It might be helping people stay separated in, you know, lines waiting for food or something. You know, we're taking a lot of precautions now. This might all change. We still got 3 months before the actual event. And we've got a lot of time and a lot of understanding about COVID-19 that might come to light before we even have to start really making some hard decisions about the event.
Okay. Just keep listening.
Absolutely.
Things will happen. I'm guessing the cement chicken auction might be something that's going to happen
Absolutely. We want to do that. I don't know if we're going to do it in July or if it'll be better in September when we have the actual event. But that's a huge piece of the
part of your fundraising.
It's part of our fundraising, yes. But it's how did we write it on the waiver? I mean, the original Chicken Show was about celebrating chickens and art.
Right.
And what better way to pair those two with a very iconic cement chicken? You can't just walk off with them. You have to be prepared for the wait, and you have to really want it, because some people have done some really crazy things, some really cool things in the past, and that's why some people spend $500 on them.
I'm always amazed at the creativity in the region. Yes.
So, and I think tonight, Carolyn at Blue Cat is doing a painting party with some of the chickens. I think she had at least three or four people signed up to do a painting party, and hopefully that'll generate some very creative designs.
All right. Well, there are other things still going on. I was going to ask you a little bit about, I noticed the city council, the revolving loan fund has been passed on to the area.
Right.
So you want to explain that a little bit?
So back in the day, I mean, way before my time, I think Wayne Industries or whoever it was, secured a community development block grant. And I think it was either to help recruit Tempty or when Great Dane bought out Tempty in the mid-80s. So this CDBG fund, it brought dollars to the area. It was used for a specific project, but once they paid that back, it became a revolving loan. And I think something to the tune of $2 or $3 million has been revolved out through the years to different businesses. When I started in economic development in 2012, 2013, the state started getting some different guidance from housing and urban development. And so community development block grants, all the money derives from housing and urban development at the federal level. And so when HUD says you do this, you don't ask questions, you just jump. And they told the state you have to change things. So the state said, all right, we're changing it. And the change was local communities could no longer be in charge of those funds. They had to have a nonprofit development organization be in charge of that. And they were really trying to funnel it out to the development districts like Northeast Nebraska Development District in Norfolk. There's similar ones across the entire state. I think there's like 6 or 8 different districts. But they are the best places for those to be going. They have certified staff at all times for CDBG. They work with these projects day in and day out, so they understand how the money should be used. And then the biggest piece on those projects is there's usually an environmental review. So they said, we gotta have the professionals taking care of this. With the ACE project, Wayne used up the last of the dollars that they had control of. And so since all the dollars have been allocated to the ACE project, and as those repayments are made, they will all go back to the development district in Norfolk. But Wayne has to take formal action to close out that program with the rules of CDBG. So that was the action on Tuesday night.
But there are resources available, and you can direct people how to apply for those.
Absolutely. So at our office, we have the $10,000 revolving loan fund, and we've actually got a few different applicants on our docket right now. We've also got a new program that we're kind of rolling out. The board of directors wanted to try and set aside some of our revolving loan dollars to specify a COVID-19 response. So we've got about $30,000 set aside that we will give out as $3,000 loans. They're still the same 0% interest rate, low threshold of acquisition in terms of all the programs that are out there. But folks can contact our office. But that COVID-19 response package is just for chamber members. If you're a chamber member in 2019, or if you're currently a chamber member in 2020, you're eligible. And so we've been talking to a few businesses about that opportunity. And we'll send out some more information to our membership about that opportunity. The $10,000 program is open to anybody, but part of the rules are you have to be a chamber member throughout the duration of that loan. And then a third program that's out there is the city's LB 840. They had instituted a sales tax in 2009 for local. Part of that money goes to a revolving loan program, and our office at the chamber, we do the dirty work at the beginning, and then when city council makes the final approval, then the city takes over. They take care of all the repayment programs, the loan closing documents, all that. And so we get them to the city council, and we help them get to that process, and then the city takes over.
Okay. Well, any other thing? Anything exciting going on in the city these days as far as new development?
We're always working on something. I think the biggest question mark, a few months ago, Jimmy John's was a big question. I did get a chance to talk with the franchisee out of Norfolk that, was interested, and he's kind of cooled off to the situation. He got some other projects going on, and, with COVID-19, it really slowed down a lot of different things. I know there's a lot of question marks about 527. We're still working on some different opportunities there. We got to kind of wait and see. I can't really say a lot about everything, but we are working on that. We know that that's a very visible corner in town, and people want to see something happen there. And so, and we're always looking for the next big thing too. I mean, I don't even know what it might be. And that's one thing I think I appreciate about my board of directors, and, you know, Mike Powicki as president, him and I have a lot of conversations. The discussion has been, we can't let possible development fall through the cracks right now. Even though COVID-19 is dominating every discussion and every piece of planning, we can't let those possible development opportunities fall through the cracks. And so, or, you know, we had a retreat in February and we were working on, you know, should housing and childcare be some of our focal points? And they've been very good about making sure that I stay on task with that. So I want to say thank you to them, because it's really easy to get mired in the COVID-19 stuff. So having other projects to work on is kind of fun.
Okay. So along the lines of housing and childcare, anything specific going on?
We talk with Rainbow World. I there's a big group of heads of different organizations, and Rainbow World's on that call, and they've reopened this week. Mm-hmm. And they are focused on families of essential workers, because they have limits, I think about 10 kids for each age room that they have. Something that we talked about at our retreat is the need for childcare. And for all of those private in-home childcare providers that might be listening, I want to talk to you and see where you're at. You know, what are you enjoying what you do? What's your capacity? Are you at your limit? We want to understand what's available before we start really trying to, if we needed to do another project that offers another childcare opportunity, whether it's commercial or in-home. We have to kind of understand where we sit before we can start moving forward. And I don't know if anybody, you know, it's just something that, you know, we've probably never sat down and really looked at the numbers. Same thing with housing. I did some research on what are the available lots, what kind of sales are available right now through our real estate listing agents. And then what are the volume of sales that have taken place in the last year? And so we want to try and keep tabs on those numbers and understand how that affects, you know, the ability of people to move into the community.
Okay. If anybody has any questions, you can contact the office, 375-2240.
Absolutely. We are there all the time. Like I said, out and about more this week, trying to talk with businesses and just get out again. I mean, the warmer weather has encouraged me to get out of hiding. And like I said, June 1st, it felt like the day that we should be out and about again.
Okay. And next week, Farmer's Market is starting.
Yep, Farmer's Market starting. If you need your Farmer's Market vendor pass, you can stop by the office. It's $10 for a one-time pass, or it's $50 for the entire season. Wednesdays and Saturdays, like it has been in the past, they're on the west lawn of the courthouse. There's some more rules. The state has provided us with some guidance on how to conduct farmer's markets with COVID-19. The biggest thing is, as a patron, if you are attending the farmer's market to purchase something, you cannot touch the merchandise. The vendors must package the merchandise for you.
Okay.
And so that's a big change, because, you know, if I go to a market and there's fruit available, I want to touch every apple and really make sure there's no bruising or something. But that's a big no-no this year. So let's try and be safe. Let's make sure that we let the vendors package everything up for us so that we can continue having the farmer's market.
Okay. Wednesday and Saturday.
Yep.
Do we have the hours set?
I want to say like Wednesdays, it starts at like 4-ish and goes to like 6 or 7.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
Then
yeah.
In, on Saturdays, I think like by 9-ish, they're up and going.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. West side of the courthouse.
Yes. West side of the courthouse.
And they are, excuse me, they're very aware. They got to kind of dodge around some of the construction too.
Yeah. They have a little bit of that going on. Yes.
Yep.
All right. Anything else before we say goodbye?
One last thing with Chicken Show, we are probably going to try and do some sort of celebration virtually or through video means with the actual Chicken Show dates of July 10th and 11th, or that whole week. Because, you know, when the Regional Arts Council put together Chicken Show, they did some serious research and they picked the second weekend of July for some very legitimate reasons. Mm-hmm. So we want to honor that since it is the 40th. We want to have some recognition for that.
We'll do something.
We will do something.
Okay.
So, but again, we'll keep you posted.
All right. Thank you, Luke.
Absolutely.
Luke Virgil from Wayne Area Economic Development, again, our guest today on The View from Wayne America.
Been listening to The View from Wayne America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC. The View from Wayne.